This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You are listening to Lee Chui Lin and Uma Pagan Ampike Pagan on the evening edition. And our last story is an extremely sad one. So there were a lot of headlines about this. A nine-month-old baby girl has died due to allegedly being raped and sodomized by the husband, I believe, of her babysitter, right? Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
And so this in turn has prompted, DAP MP Ram Kapal Singh to say, perhaps we should keep the death penalty for murder, and that perhaps it should be retained for exceptional cases where the crime can be proven beyond reasonable doubt. Now, I guess that is prompting a separate line of discussion, because basically, if we're going to abolish the death penalty, then we have to hold true to it, don't we? It can't just be led by emotion. It can't be because something that nobody disagrees is awful. It is a truly awful thing to have happened. But I don't think we get to pick and choose when it comes to the death penalty.
Correct. Also, I think proving beyond a reasonable doubt has always been problematic.
Yeah.
And therein lies the main issue with the death penalty, which is why it has been abolished in so many countries all over the world, because there's an overwhelming amount of cases and situations where proof beyond a reasonable doubt was found to be false.
And you can't undo that mistake.
No, it's the one thing that you cannot undo. That being said, we as human beings have come up with very, very creative ways to punish the worst of our humanity. And some of them are fates worse than death as well, right? So I think with this case, I mean, if it turns out, if these allegations are true, I am sure we will come up with some truly creative ways to mess up this guy who killed a nine-month-old baby, right?
So we've been asking for your thoughts on this. I mean, we are going to speak to Shamini Dashni, who's the Executive Director of Amnesty International Malaysia, in just a little bit. But you can also call us and let us know what you think. I mean, should the death penalty be retained for exceptional cases like this? Or do you agree that once you abolish it, it just has to be done away with? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Yusuf says, regarding the death penalty, if we're doing away with it, be prepared for more demands for rights, like Breivik, the Norwegian mass murderer, going for tertiary education. Are we ready to allow a child rapist and murderer to study and take a PTPTN loan?
And those are the questions that we will have to address as a society, right? And I think even in the case of what happened in Norway, I think those are questions that Norwegian society has to address, because, you know, that situation in Oslo was so traumatic for the Norwegian people.
Yes.
And they had to confront this individual who was
responsible directly for all that. Yes.
And admittedly so. And also what it meant to their society, who had progressed so far with regards to rights and considerations and I guess legal avenues and recourse for punishment.
Raymond, on the other hand, says a normal death penalty is too kind. He should be chained to a chair with the victim's family, being able to spend some quality time with him. After that, whatever's left of him should be brought to the town square, which I don't think we have, for stoning, which we don't do, and flogging, which we also don't do, of the corpse.
Yes, so that's a very extreme punishment. I didn't mean that when I said creative, man.
Yeah, that was sent through before you, so you don't have to take responsibility for Raymond. We've got, I believe we've got Alicia on the line. Good evening, Alicia. What are your thoughts?
Hi, yes, good evening. I feel that this kind of situation of this horrible, horrible sexual abuse of this child should not ever happen. It's so sickening, and I think we need more than just death penalty. We need something better, because I believe death penalties alone won't be sufficient.
So, just what do you mean when you say by something better?
I can't think anything out
right
of my mind, because this news, it's really like, I have a
it
two
is
small kids. And I cannot imagine the feelings of the parents, you know, at the time receiving this news. And I cannot imagine, the poor baby that have gone through so much horrible pain. I think, death penalty are the easy way out for these perpetrators, I think the government needs to think something like you know, ban these people from ever working or employed, or even worse, you know, you don't even give them, if you put them in jail forever, you don't even take them out of a, you know, for any reason, for that matter, you know.
So, Alicia, do you think that there is no hope for rehabilitation in cases like this? Would you not want to see that? And, you know, it's more about we have to punish and we have to kind of do away with them.
I think as much as I'm trying to be human about it, unfortunately, because this situation is so inhumane in so many ways, I mean, I would love to try to think that maybe, possibly, 5% they might, you know, repent or, you know, but I'm thinking the chances is very, very low for any people who do this, either because of drugs or what they take. Unfortunately, I don't see any way back, you know, just like any pedophiles, you know, you don't see them going back and going through as a normal life. They cannot, you know. It's sad, but this is the truth. Once you have these kind of urges, sick urges, you won't find a way back to the right, you know, societies. And I don't think societies even want to accept. I mean, as a mother myself, if there is a neighborhood who have these pedophile cases, I do not want them close to my children, ever.
Well, thank you very much for your call. And I think a lot of mothers and fathers would feel the same way.
Would agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do think so. We've got Juan on the line. Good evening, Juan. What are your thoughts?
Good evening. I do think that repentance. People deserve second chance on everything. I do agree in abolishing the death penalties. But it doesn't mean that I don't condemn that sort of sins that what the people have done to the 11-month child. It's such a pity that society terms try to punish them heavily. I think everybody deserves a second chance. Death penalty, I do not think that will be the complete solution of in terms of eradicating anything, something like that happened before, just recently. But I hope government just go on with abolishing the death penalty, and then our correctional facility could do with rehab a lot in terms of what I have been doing. Even in Islam, there's a concept of forgiveness. I think all religions hold forgiveness in high regard. So maybe some things, maybe we as a human are very hard to forgive when something like this happens. But we doesn't know what are in the doer's mind. Maybe he's not normal. Maybe there's some medical condition that we can explain. So I do think that people that have done these atrocities do deserve a second chance. That's what I thought about it.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your call. And it's interesting to get both sides of, I guess, the divide in opinion, right?
So quickly, yes.
Yeah.
On text, a number of people say physical or chemical castration should be a punishment that should be implemented. Melvin says the death penalty should be abolished. Ram Kapal is a politician playing to the gallery. This fellow should be sentenced to 30 years jail. Where he can get, I suppose, prison punishment. I'm just censoring there. It was a longer message. Des says, I disagree with YB for being so fickle-minded. You either abolish it or you don't. There's no halfway. I, for one, am for maintaining the death penalty. I disagree with using taxpayers' money to keep them alive.
So here's the thing, right? I think when it comes to reforms, just to address the government's response to this, or in particular one MP's response to this, when it comes to reforms, if you've announced a reform, I think it's important to actually find a way to educate the public on why you've decided to push those reforms, as opposed to just back down at the first possible sign of trouble. Right, and that's what usually happens. Even in the previous government, the BN government, right? They'll tout a good idea, and then something will happen, or there'll be public pressure with regards to something, and they'll just back down for fear of losing votes.
Okay, so part of it I think is political, and part of it is just human. I'm not saying that there isn't some politicking going on, but I also think it's a very, very human impulse to be confronted with something so horrifying and say, "No, you know what? We need to go back to the way. We need to go back to a punishment that we know works because you know." And this is the only way.
And I think that's the impulse we need to fight, right? Because that is, yeah, that is based on revenge and retribution and all of that
stuff.
But
it's understandable.
It is understandable, yeah. Yes.
Chris on Twitter says, introduce labor camps, get the perpetrators to help build the MRT3, help the government save money. So there is that. Coming up, we're going to be speaking with Shamini Darshni, who is the Executive Director at Amnesty International Malaysia, to get her perspective. Shamini, you've been advocating for the abolition of the death penalty for a long time, and surely you've had to deal with this particular question of how to address and punish crimes as heinous as this. What is your stand on dealing with crimes of this level with this much public outrage?
Amnesty International is against the death penalty for all crimes as a matter of principle, because we have seen too many instances where the application of the death penalty has gone so very wrong. Under international law, in countries where it has not yet been abolished, the imposition of the death penalty must be restricted to the most serious of crimes. This restriction has been interpreted as referring to lethal crimes or intentional killing. Amnesty International, however, calls for total and complete abolition because when the death penalty is applied, too many things, as I said, can and do go wrong. There have also been cases of death row inmates being wrongly convicted. One notable incident is the case of Iwao Hakamada in Japan, who is the world's longest-serving death row prisoner. He was arrested without corroborative evidence, and he was tortured in detention. Hakamada was interrogated for 20 days with no lawyer present, and currently he is released after serving 46 years on death row and is awaiting a retrial. Closer to home in Malaysia, we have also recorded cases of wrongful convictions. One is the case of Kim Yoon-sung, a South Korean student, who was freed in 2017 from drug trafficking charges after the main witness, who was a police officer, admitted to lying during cross-examination in court. These are some of the problems that we have seen in cases where the death penalty is used. The death penalty is also irreversible, and if there is a case of wrongful conviction, there is no way we can bring the executed person back to life. And as long as the prisoner remains alive, he or she can hope for rehabilitation or to be exonerated if they are later found to be innocent.
Having said that, while facts and research support the abolition of the death penalty, emotions tend to run hot when dealing with crimes of this type and severity. How can we account for public sentiment and the cry for justice when many might feel the death penalty is an appropriate punishment here?
There are reputable studies that have said the same. Feelings in favor of the death penalty are usually more intense after, you know, such a crime as what has just happened carried out. But the question is of responses, though. They differ when a more precise question is asked. For example, when questions on alternative punishments or mandatory imposition of the death penalty are introduced. The calls by YB Ramkapal and the Deputy Prime Minister today for the death penalty to be retained in such instances is actually a classic knee-jerk reaction to allay negative public sentiment about abolishing the death penalty. We have seen this in the media over the last couple of weeks. But the role of our leaders is really to address the root causes of crime and not really hide behind the excuse that the death penalty should be retained in such situations when it's been proven time and again over the past 40 years that the death penalty is not an effective deterrent. Yes, we recognize that what has happened to the 9-month-old girl who recently passed following these unspeakably brutal actions is something that has sent shockwaves throughout our society. And we completely empathize with the family, and we too want to see the perpetrator brought to justice. But there are alternatives to the death penalty. The death penalty is not justice. There is a study called the Death Penalty, commissioned by the UN in 1988, which says, and I quote, "Research has failed to provide scientific proof that executions have a greater deterrent effect than life imprisonment." We need to break that cycle of violence and not continue to advocate an eye for an eye, because all it does is make the world go blind.
So what then are useful alternatives to the death penalty?
We recognize that as part of its obligation to respect and protect the human rights of victims of violent crime, the Malaysian government needs to ensure that perpetrators are held accountable and that those who are convicted of a fair judicial process receive penalties that reflect the gravity of their crimes. Such alternatives can include a term of imprisonment, for example, which is currently being considered, I believe, by the Malaysian government towards its aim of abolishing the death penalty. And the term of imprisonment in this situation would be, you know, really up to the lawmakers to decide. But the other thing that we also need to emphasize is that Malaysia has always practiced retributive justice, which is a punitive type of justice that focuses on punishment. There is an argument for restorative justice, and this focuses on rehabilitating the prisoner. And it introduces perspectives such as reconciliation between victim or victim's families and perpetrator. And this is something that has brought positive influences in countries which have looked and adopted this method. What we are suggesting is that Malaysia needs to relook its crime and punishment philosophy and perhaps consider some of these as alternative forms of justice.
Shamini, you mentioned Bukit Gelugur MP Ramkarpal Singh earlier and his suggestion that the death penalty be retained for exceptional cases. As part of that statement, he also said that the abolition of the death penalty may send the signal that such crimes are not taken seriously enough. In closing, how would you respond to that?
Well, based on recent statements, I am confident that the government and the authorities are viewing the crime that has just happened against the baby as very serious. But promoting the death penalty as a deterrent to crime really masks the real problems and thus the real solutions. The key to real and true deterrence is to increase the likelihood of detection, arrest, and conviction. When politicians and authorities defer to the death penalty as a supposed effective deterrent, it actually promotes a simplistic response to really complex human problems, rather than providing explanations on how to effectively reduce crime.
Shamini, thank you so much for joining us on the show. That was Shamini Darshini, Executive Director of Amnesty International Malaysia, giving her thoughts on why basically we've got to stick the landing on the abolition of the death penalty, no matter what horrific crimes come our way, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think that is the measure of, I guess, one, what we are as a society, but also how quickly we respond to these things, these pressures on whatever reforms. I mean, if the government, the Pakatan Harapan government, has taken as a philosophical stand that it no longer supports the death penalty, then it should actually do its best to, like I said earlier, educate the public on where on why they are doing it and why it's important, and maybe debunk some of these myths as well.
Yes. In the meantime, we've got more music before we head to football. Keep it here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.